Non-Negotiable, written by Tabris, read by Of Just Imagine. Rating, general audiences. Fandom, Formula One RPF. Relationship, Mick Schumacher and Sebastian Vettel. Circa 2024. Mick isn't the same driver as his father. He knows this, Ferrari knows this, fans know this. But where Ferrari really screws up is that no one involved in Mick's contract negotiations seemed to remember one important fact. Other drivers didn't so much hate racing against Michael because he was a dick on track. They hated racing against him because he was a stubborn dick on track. Mick's not the same person as his father either, but fortunately for him, some personality traits are more heritable than Ferrari could ever have imagined. I have the skill to back up my name, and I know exactly what both of those are worth to the sport, to Ferrari, and to every other team on the grid. This is non-negotiable. They sign. Mick swears Callum to secrecy about nearly having a panic attack afterwards. Levers pull and gears turn behind the scenes, and before Mick can believe that he's really doing this, his phone is ringing with Sebastian's face lighting up the screen. He'd tried calling twice earlier in the week, but apparently Seb spent his first month of retirement finding a favorite camping spot halfway up a mountain well out of cell range. Mick has already made a pact with Charles and Jensen that should Seb manage to kill himself in the process, one of them will figure out a way to bring him back so they can do the honors. Mick redirects the conversation only slightly more awkwardly than he would have liked. I know things ended not well with Ferrari. It ended like shit. You can say it. I won't tattle on you, Seb says, more lighthearted than Mick has heard him on the topic in a while. The time outdoors is doing him well, it seems. As long as you're not letting them run you over. Mick thinks back a few months, thinks the whole point of this call, and can't help the snort of laughter that bubbles up. I think I'm doing pretty well. Seb laughs with him, and his good is more satisfied than petty. At any rate, there's an event next month. Mick hears Seb take a deep breath and keeps going before Seb can cut him off. I'd like for you to be my guest. No obligations to the team or media. You can even go hide in a closet if the urge to shear Bonato gets too strong. Just come, please? For me? The plaintive note in his voice by the time he gets to the end is entirely unplanned. He'd been actively trying to avoid it, in fact, but it does get results. Namely, Seb letting out his breath in a deep sigh, a moment of silence, and then Seb's own voice going soft. Of course. Thank you, Mick says, knowing he could have simply told Seb the reason, or said that it was to honor Michael. But somehow it feels more important, necessary even, to do this on his own terms. You know, my neighbor does have sheep. I could probably borrow... Seb, oh my god, don't you dare! As they're walking down the eerily empty Monza pit lane together towards the garage Ferrari has claimed for this weekend, Mick keeping a bemused Seb just out of line of sight, something terrifying suddenly dawns on him. Mick's almost certainly about to make Sebastian Vettel cry. Dear God, he prays, if you exist, please note that I'm trying to do a kind thing here, and also maybe make sure no one's got any hidden cameras. A few meters shy of their destination, Mick stops Seb with a hand on his elbow. Wait here, I'll be right back, he says, dashing in to grab the parcel he'd stashed earlier, not letting himself look at the car a bit further in, or at the handful of carefully selected mechanics just finishing setting it up. Not yet. Mick's pulling a helmet out of a bag when he walks back outside, and he can see Sebastian's eyes go wide the second he recognizes it. After all, he should. It was his to begin with before he'd gifted it to Mick, following his final race in Hockenheim. Only the signed visor has been carefully replaced with one more suited to driving. Bemusement turns to confusion, and Seb's eyebrows crinkle as Mick passes the helmet over. He's pleased to find his own hands steady, which is honestly something of a shock, considering he's as nervous and giddy now as he'd ever been getting into a car himself. Even this one. You're about to need it, Mick says, and Seb's confusion deepens. He's going to need a suit, too, but that's waiting inside. Never let it be said that Mick's had too much drama in his life. He did learn from the best. Come on, he says, done with the pretext, in favor of grabbing Seb's unoccupied hand and tugging. Walking backwards into a pit garage without braining oneself is difficult, but Mick is bound and determined to not miss even a thousandth of a second of what's about to happen. It's revelatory. One realization after another, slamming into Sebastian with more force than any corner or collision either of them has lived through. The car. The helmet. Mick. The track. The car. Mick doesn't notice everything's gone blurry until Seb very carefully and very deliberately sets the helmet down in favor of flinging his arms around Mick so tightly that he squeaks. And then he flings Mick around in a circle, the whole of him shaking like an excitable puppy. Seb's lashes are damp and his nose is pink when he finally loosens his grip, but his cheeks are dry for the moment, and the grin that's taken over is brilliant. Those blue, bright eyes dart back and forth over Mick's face, and after a moment, he lets out a peal of disbelieving laughter. Wait, was this the fabled secret contentious clause in your contract that Ferrari refused to release? Mick can't quite speak, just nods, returning the grin with equal force. Sebastian hugs him again, somehow even harder, obviously trying to say something, but repeatedly failing a few syllables in. Eventually, Mick manages to mumble into Seb's neck. Don't. You don't have to say anything, I know. And when Seb eventually lets go to clasp the sides of Mick's neck and just breathe in the moment, forehead to forehead, Mick is immensely glad that he insisted on limiting today's attendance to a very specific, very short list. "Which one of you fuckers started cutting onions in here?" comes a shout from the back of the garage, prompting Mick to break down into snotty giggles and shove Seb in the direction of the race suit hanging on the wall. "Go on, then. You've got a dream car to drive." Seb's joyous whoop is more than loud enough to rival the scream of the V10. The end. Reader's note, if you'd like to leave feedback for this story, you can find it at archiveofourown.org/works/31975894. I've been of Just Imagine, and you can find me at Twitter, Tumblr, and AO3 under that name. Thank you for listening.